you not only had the State of the State address, but then you had to tour some flooding damage and had to deal with disaster declarations. Has it been a difficult transition settling in with such a whirlwind of activity?
No, it's been what we hoped it would be, really, Jeff. During the 16 months I interviewed for this job, I told folks that, you know, if you hire us, we're going there to make change. We're going there to try some new things, and we tried to lay out very clearly for people the way we'd go about all this. And so it's been a very fulfilling first couple of weeks, just simply trying to put these ideas into practice.
How does the atmosphere compare with the experience in Washington?
The atmosphere is terrific. Just from the very first moment, our new colleagues, the permanent employees of state government, and then the people who inhabit this state house, I mean, it's all very new to me, but just person after person says, boy, it's a new day. Things are different. There's a more optimistic feeling in the place. And I know that's a little bit natural, just with maybe any new crew coming in, but it's our job to move fast, do all the things that seem right to us, and then maintain that sense that Indiana's on the road back.
Now, you've proposed a budget that contains minimal spending in some areas, flatlining education, and have been criticized by some lawmakers in the early going who say by flatlining education, schools wouldn't meet the demands of the cost of health care and teacher salaries in other areas. How do you feel that the districts with the declining enrollment can deal with that, and how might a new funding formula right the ship for education?
Well, first, I wasn't eager to do this or anything else that I put in that budget, but, you know, we didn't make this mess. I didn't dig the hole. As I say, we sort of climbed down in it. We're trying to figure out how to get out quickly. I do believe that we can hit the pause button temporarily in education because we have grown spending in education faster than almost any place. Even when we were running these big deficits, we kept spending more. And if you look at what other states have done, many have cut education when they got in a fix like ours. I don't think we ought to do that or need to, but I don't think it's out of line to ask a sector that's been benefiting from substantial increases to stand still with no less but no more for a little while. And by the way, we ought to try to help schools spend the money they have now much better. There's a lot of things schools have not done in Indiana that would make a lot of sense. For instance, everybody buys their own supplies, everybody buys their own insurance, everybody runs their own transportation. We could be achieving some real savings, and now's the time to look for them.
You feel there's been some extravagant work on the part of districts for perhaps a new gym and things like that? I've seen some quotes to that effect.
You know, it's been in our law for a long time that the board that approves school bond issues down here should look at things like cost and how much per square foot and how big, but they've never done it. It's always just been a rubber stamp. And all I'm suggesting is we take that duty seriously. And we just say to folks who are making plans out there, make sure that you really need what you're asking for. Make sure it's really aimed at academic results. If so, no problem. But if you're kind of way outside these boundaries, you might not get rubber stamped without some changes.
I want to talk a minute about health care. Traditional Medicaid services, some lawmakers say, would see a hit with minimal funding increases. What would you say to a patient who is dependent on Medicaid for physical therapy or a certain number of prescriptions a month under your proposal?
Now, the first thing I'd say is we'll be spending a lot more on health care and on Medicaid next year and probably every year, but this thing is totally out of control right now. You cannot have a very large piece of any budget growing at double digits year after year. As I said last week, taxpayers deserve compassion too. So, in a way, healthcare will be the most favored part of the budget I proposed, growing at Medicaid now, growing at 5%. But we are going to have to do some things to slow down the rate of increase here because it is crowding out education and support for our universities and roads and other things that we want to do. We're just going to have to bring it under some control. I'm not going to like doing it, but on autopilot, this vehicle is going over the cliff.
You've proposed a one-year 1% surcharge on the wealthiest Hoosiers, and since then you've talked about maybe some alternatives after getting some response from lawmakers. What would you consider maybe an alternative to taxing, imposing a one-year 1% surcharge on the Hoosiers making $100,000 or more?
It could be almost anything except another deficit. What I won't accept is another year of outspending our income. And I went through all the spending reduction I thought made sense. The things we've just talked about, flatlining education, how much could we slow down the growth of Medicaid and so forth. And when we were still a quarter of a billion short, the choice is another deficit or some temporary revenue. And that's why I picked what I thought was the fairest alternative. But I'll be very receptive. If somebody, for example, would rather have a 5% cut in education and higher education than any change in taxes, well, then I would disagree, but some may see it that way. From my point of view, this is not an unfair thing, and I will tell you that it is very clear to me that among the 1 in 20 Hoosiers, 19 out of 20 would see no change at all. Among the 1 in 20 who would, the vast majority are saying and writing to say, fine, if this will help us get back to balance and out of the woods, I'm glad to do it.
Some say $100,000 is middle income. Would you consider something on those that earn more?
Well, let me just talk facts for a minute. $100,000 is about 2.5 times the middle income in Indiana and much a bigger multiple of what a lot of our hard-working Hoosiers are doing. So I'm not saying that who's wealthy and who's not. All I'm saying is this is the top 5% of our state. And again, it's clear to me that the majority of that 5% would be willing to make a contribution if that's what it takes to get out of the woods. For those who wouldn't, well, I'm sorry. Bring me another suggestion, and maybe it'll work better.
Are you fully confident that you and lawmakers will find a way to balance this budget within a year?
I really think so. I think that there's good affirmation for that. I think that really lawmakers, when they admit it, would say they know they've been kicking the can down the street. They haven't been comfortable using gimmicks like raiding teachers' pension funds, coercive borrowing, really, from local government and schools by not paying them on time. They know this isn't a proud record, and they know it's time to solve these problems. And what I've said is, look, let's don't take 2, 3, 4 years to do it. Let's just do it now, and then we can start growing again.
You proposed converting the state to daylight savings time. What do you think it'll take to convince some of those lawmakers who think that it's just been discussed way too many times already, that this will be something that will benefit the state as far as bringing in jobs? Will you perhaps bring in some business leaders who you talk to during your campaign?
People in business have spoken for years about it, and they will need to again. I don't hold this out as some kind of cure-all. I just feel that in the shape our economy's in, anything that might help, we ought to do. And I guess I don't understand why it would worse in any way. 15 Indiana counties move with the rest of the world now. 77 don't. And what I think is difficult for our businesses and for us as individuals is in 77 counties, depending on what month it is, you don't know what time it is. Which time zone am I in? Is it May or is it July? And so I do believe that it would be a modest step forward for our economy at no cost at all, and I hope a majority will agree.
Where do you see gaming working out in the future of the state? The mayor of Indianapolis has tried to push land-based gambling. Do you see the potential for the right plan for that or maybe horse racing to expand gaming in the state to help your economy?
I think we've got to be very cautious. We're already heavily involved in gambling in Indiana, and it's about as large a part of our annual budget as I think it ought to be. I know there are differences of opinion, and I want to keep an open mind about it in some ways. I have agreed with those who said no casino in the heart of our capital city. I think that's just a bad idea for several reasons. Those who want to grow our horse industry in the state with some help from this probably can be listened to. And my position is if, and it's a huge if, there is any more gaming revenue that's going to occur in the state of Indiana, it ought to be kept out of our annual budget. It ought to be used for investment purposes, and that means roads that right now we can't build, economic development, chasing jobs that we might not otherwise get, and so forth.
Last question, Governor. President Bush has called you the Blade from your time in D.C., where you were part of an administration criticized by some for the $1.3 trillion tax cut. What do you think that experience, you've been able to take from that experience into Indiana and the positives that came away from your time as a budget director there?
Well, I think I learned an awful lot in a job I never expected to have. I thought I'd just finish my working days in business, but I'm glad for that experience, and I think it'll help me here sharpen my eye for that spending that's really essential in government and that spending that's not, or that spending that doesn't work. We're going to have a very hard look at every dollar we ask a taxpayer to contribute down here and make sure we're actually getting a good result from it, not just spending it with good intent and with good motivations. I think it certainly taught me that you've got to be able to bring the legislative branch that holds the purse strings along. All too often in Washington we couldn't do that. I hope to have a better record here, especially because we're trying to end a long string of deficits in Indiana. Give us an honestly balanced budget as our Constitution tells us to.
Yeah, like I said, the tax cuts obviously received a lot of criticism. Do you feel like those cuts and looking back on it now is helping you decide where to make some really tough decisions?
Well, the president's tax cuts were the best thing that happened to this economy in a long time. You might remember there was a recession on when he took the oath of office in 01. Those tax cuts, and there was some luck in this, but they came along at just the right time. The recession ended, and we've been in an expansion since late 01. It's kind of hard to feel in Indiana because we've been one of the weakest states economically, but we've got a 3.5-year expansion going on across the nation, and those tax cuts had an awful lot to do with it. I mean, I've always been a believer that high taxes are the enemy of economic growth, and you will see us keeping taxes down, and I hope when we get our own economy growing in Indiana, the day will come when we can reduce them further here.
Anything else you want to add about your plans the next couple of weeks in the session and getting settled in?
I just want to thank all the Hoosiers in West Indiana who not only took us in overnight and gave us good advice as we traveled, but have weighed in ever since. And you know, we don't pretend to have all the answers, and people will produce better approaches than we have, but I hope you'll encourage your legislators to help us get to a balanced budget now. We can all debate the best means to get there, but if you'll give them heart to make a few tough decisions now, we can get these problems behind us quickly, and I just know be positioned for better days ahead.
Governor, thanks for your time.
Anytime.
All right.
Thank
you much. Bye.